Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go, boys.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we thank you for being with us. Coming up in 20 minutes, I can't even believe some of the football conversations I heard while I was gone last week. I'll delve into the one that bothers me most. And then coming up in 40 minutes, advanced analytics. This week, we have officially opened up the position for Meraz's slot. He's out this week on vacation. Next week, we're all together for his final week. And so we're starting to turn ahead. Now, there's no way to ever truly replace Meraz because he's an entity to himself, a pop culture phenomenon, of course. But we are excited to see who's interested in the job. We feel like we've got a good working environment here, a successful show, a great place to meet people with like-minded interests, go on long walks, see sunsets, and oil up your friends at a backyard bar remote broadcast. So, I have said the D'Aliens are welcome to throw their hat in the ring. We had Jeff in Pittsburgh begin the proceedings earlier this morning. It appears that one of the listeners that is interested did say that when I told him to call in, it was a little too close to his regular work time. So we're trying to set up a different call time, maybe tomorrow. So throughout the week, you'll hear some of the listeners do a phone interview as a preliminary way for us to get to know you and see if you kind of move on. And our poll question today revolves around that. As the listeners of the show, would you like to see a producer similar to Meraz? Because one of these listeners said he could be the Canadian version of Meraz. Or do you want somebody completely different than Meraz? You know, when they replaced Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, were they looking for somebody very similar to Aunt Viv or somebody completely different? It's like when a sitcom adds a baby, freshen things up. We're looking to perhaps freshen things up around here. So that's the poll question today. Obviously a very important one as we get our week started here.
Well, it freshens up growing pains. It destroyed married with children.
Good point. Fact of Life did this too, right? They added the baby.
Did they?
Yeah. It used to be, at first, just the three kids. Justine Bateman, Michael J. Fox, and Tina Yothers. And then they added...
Family Ties
added the baby boy.
Right, right.
Last couple of seasons.
That freshened it up.
Yep. Just to go back to Bob Huggins for a second here. So the guy gets absolutely lit up behind the wheel of a car. That is not debatable. He blew a .210, which is remarkably high. He has a bag of cans, empties, in his car. His daughter says he's just a recycling enthusiast. Oh, really? No, seriously, that's what she said. He had a cooler in the car behind the seat. It was wet. He insists, or they insist. No, he wasn't drinking out of that cooler. Okay, I guess we just all roll around with cold coolers with beers in the car and drinks that we don't partake in. .210. Doesn't know where he is. I'm sure he's not drinking in the car. He's got empty cans and a cold cooler. Okay. So, of course he's dismissed. Of course. Because you can't be employed to guide young people into good decision-making and make heinously poor illegal decisions yourself. Just doesn't jive. West Virginia did the right thing. Of course, the only thing. They said, thanks, but you're gone. You've had to resign. You're retiring, what have you. And we are going to promote your longtime assistant coach, Josh Eilert, to the head coaching position. However, Bob Huggins now says, I never resigned. Huggins' legal team sent a letter to West Virginia's president, Gordon Gee, that stated Huggins never officially resigned. The letter also said Huggins entered rehab after his arrest last month and intends to return to his post as head coach when he completes the program. David A. Campbell, an attorney representing Huggins, said Huggins' resignation correspondence with the school did not come from him but from his wife. The attorney claims Huggins never gave West Virginia a, quote, formal resignation. Based on press statements, it appears that West Virginia is taking the position that Coach Huggins voluntarily resigned and terminated the employment agreement, Campbell writes. However, although the press statements purport to have resignation communications directly from Coach Huggins, we understand that the purported resignation is incredibly based on a text message from June Huggins, Coach Huggins' wife. This university released an email that was sent from an account belonging to his wife that said to the AD, please accept this correspondence as my formal notice of resignation as West Virginia head basketball coach and notice of my retirement. So, weird things are going on. And it is July the 10th. By September 10th, by January 10th, by who knows when, maybe we find that Bob Huggins is not in his right mind. Maybe we find out that he's not capable of decision making on his own, and that has led to these series of peculiar, bizarre situations. If I had a multi-million dollar job and I was going to have to resign, would I send the email from my wife's email account? Probably not. Would I make a phone call? Probably so. Would I do it from my own email account? Probably so. But who knows where his mind is at? What seems likely is that this is a money play by his attorneys to say, well, if you're going to be out of the job and you're never getting another job again, let's make sure that every last cent that is owed to you, you get by not having, quote, voluntarily resigned, so that there can be no ifs, ands, or buts about what they owe you, that they had to terminate you and they had to fully execute their end of the contract, is my guess. Is my guess. That somebody, some attorney said, well, there's more money coming to you, because the statement, I fully intend to be the head coach again, is absolutely patently absurd. There is no reality on earth where Bob Huggins is the head coach of West Virginia again. There is none. So, unless he is a stark, raving, mad lunatic right now, going, I'm going to be the head coach of West Virginia, and you're going to sue to get me there, I don't see how this ends in anything but the parties representing, quote-unquote, Bob Huggins trying to get a little bit more money out of West Virginia. But the idea that he suddenly is like, no, I never resigned. Once I'm out of rehab, I'm coaching again. You're out there, dude. You are out there, and your legal team or somebody in the family should be like, we're not doing this. We're not doing this because now you seem like the crazy old man yelling at the clouds. And you're a hero in West Virginia, your native son. Everybody, by and large, loves you. You can just go away and recede into the darkness and be loved forever. You can do a few waves at the crowd at intermission of some games. They'll retire your name and your whatever. They'll name a court after you. We know how this song and dance goes, but some of these guys simply cannot stand to not be important. It's very difficult. They've been important their entire lives. And now they're faced with not being important, and they don't know what to do. Also, while I was gone, the NBA released this new midseason tournament. I mean, look, there's a lot of conversation about not much of anything in my estimation. These are all regular season games. And the reason why the NBA decided to do this and why Adam Silver has tried to push this through, and Silver said this has been on the NBA's table for 15 years, is for the simple fact that the league year is too long. The regular season is too long. You need no more evidence than this. They're trying to dress up regular season games that nobody cares about. And they're doing so when? Take note of when in the calendar year they're doing this. February? No. March? No. April? No. November and December. Why? What happens during November and December? Right. Football. Holidays. We ignore the NBA. There's one day before football season ends that people pay attention to the NBA. Christmas. And now the NFL is encroaching on Christmas. So the NBA is going, we've got all of this inventory that nobody cares about. Players don't want to play. Managers or general managers and coaches ask them not to play. People don't care. We're never the top story in anything during these months. Let's try to jolt some life into early regular season games by having a World Cup style draft and East versus West. And I mean, honestly, the NBA Cup, the NBA Cup. Do you think you'll care who wins the NBA Cup? I mean, it is so transparent that basketball is doing this, that they want another revenue stream, so potentially they can sell this as its own cable package, these games, or they can sell the sponsorship to the, quote, tournament or the trophy. When asked why they didn't name it the David Stern Trophy or some other trophy, they basically said, we'd like to build some recognition on this and then see where the partnerships go. They want to sell it. They want this to be the Sprite tournament or whatever. So it is the most transparent mechanism to get to more money with a sponsor or a TV deal and to goose regular season games that don't matter and won't matter. And if we could just be real with ourselves, NBA, if I could just have Adam Silver or anybody else in the league office just be honest, you could say, yeah, the regular season's too long. But the owners aren't going to take home games off of the table. And that's the reality. Somewhere along the lines, the owners of the NBA and the commissioner's office decided 82 games, 41 home games is the right amount. And it's not. It's not. Really, 62 games is the right amount. Or 52 games is the right amount. Because fewer means more important. I've always said this. Imagine the NBA season was the same amount of games as the NFL season. How massive each game would be. You think you would watch LeBron versus the Warriors? You think you would watch Sixers-Knicks? Do you think you would watch Bucks-Heat if it was one of only 17 games they played? Even if you doubled that, knowing if they only played on Wednesdays and Sundays, how huge those games would be. But the more you play, the less important they become. You got 82 games. Nobody wants 82 games. The players don't. The fans don't really care. Media certainly doesn't care. The general managers say load management. So what are we doing? We're only doing it because, well, people are still showing up, so we make money off of it. And it's good for a cable package. We make money off of that cable package. But if you were to restart the NBA all over again, would you start the NBA in late October? Would you have it overlap that much against football season? Would you have that many games? I mean, probably the best idea would be that the NBA season begins after football and ends before football. Imagine having an NBA season that began February 1st and wrapped up on Labor Day with the NBA Finals. How many games can you squeeze in that schedule? That's probably best. But that's all this is, the NBA Cup. It's regular season games. It's a European-style soccer tournament. I mean, it's just a way to goose your November games that nobody cares about anyway. When we come back, while I was off, there was one football conversation that just had me driving mad. We'll do this next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Michigan State scored 21 unanswered, rallied from 21-10 down in the fourth. They win the Peach Bowl over Pitt. They win the Peach Bowl over Pitt.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Let me clear my throat and my nasal passages. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Glad you're with us. The DA show is available on your smart speaker.
Yeah, all right.
Don't sound so enthused, Marco.
All right.
Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Scott tweets in, DA, I'd be perfect for Mraz's job. We have the same initials. His name is Scott Marsh, SM, and the same exact birthday, May 13th. 1987. Hashtag beam me up. Huh. Well, that's interesting. Pete, have we considered giving the job to somebody who has the same initials and is born on the same day?
No. We have not. We haven't thought about it. But, hey, come on down.
Comeback Kid tweets, do you hear how passionate Pat Boyle is during the tennis updates? That's what this show needs in replacing Mraz. I wonder if that means passion in general or passion towards tennis.
Right.
Because that would be a unique take on things, that we need to be more passionate about tennis around here.
He is holding court on tennis.
Nice. Carla with a K tweets, the last time I called in, the guy said I have a great radio voice. I'd love to audition for the producer position, but I know I'm not as funny as Mraz. However, I can be gullible, which could tick some sort of box as well. Imagine selling yourself by saying, I am gullible. You guys can get one over on me.
Yeah, do that after you talk about your money.
Yeah, after you negotiate the salary. And talk about how gullible you could be. But Carla with a K, if you would like to have a phone preliminary conversation, we're doing these on the show this week. Feel free to email me. I've sent out my email a couple of times. It's basically my name with a dot in the middle at odyssey.com. So that's damon.amendolara@odyssey.com. Email me. We'll set up a time on the show. We'll do a series of preliminary discussions and see if you got the chops.
First time ever. First time ever being done on the air.
That's right. Jeff in Pittsburgh called in to lead off the show. And he said one of his selling points would be that he can be very slovenly. He wanted us to know that he's a slob. And I said, what evidence do you have? And he said, I'm 5'10", 265, or something like that, 285.
285.
So he just wanted us to know that he's overweight. Which is interesting that this is where we're starting with why people think we should be interested in them.
Well, I mean, some people that are overweight aren't slovenly.
Correct. You have to love where the foundation's been laid. The people think, hey, I can replace Mraz. Either A, I'm overweight and sloppy. B, I'm gullible. Or C, I've got the same birthday.
Right. Not, hey, I could be a good, I could be a producer.
No.
Or anything.
No, no.
Or hey, I'm smart.
No, no. Nobody has gone that route yet. Who knows? Maybe when they zig, you zag. And say, I can do the job well, or I'm a hard worker, or I'm relatively intelligent.
People think that those qualifications go to the bottom of the list.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised, guys. You'd be surprised. So the conversation that has bothered me most while I was gone, and I oftentimes joke about, oh, man, you'll never see me in this chair when I'm decrepit and old and have no takes left. But it makes me wonder if really I'll only get saltier and angrier as I get older, is that when I was gone, I heard so many bad takes. Like most of today's show has been responding to bad takes that I heard last week. The Damian Lillard stuff I couldn't stand. The response to the quarterback tears from Will Brinson I couldn't stand. Corey Dillon's angry like me. And now this debate. Now, Michael Vick said last week that there should be consideration for Andy Reid to be perhaps the greatest coach of all time. He was on Tyreek Hill's podcast. It needed to be said. And said he might be the greatest. You don't have to win as many championships just to be considered. And his point was Andy Reid's done it in two different places, did it in Philadelphia, is doing it obviously in Kansas City. Which, that part of the debate and conversation, I would like to discuss, and I will discuss. The part that I hated was, well, if Andy Reid wins a couple more championships and gets closer to Bill, then it's a real conversation. Why do we do this? Where we just chalk up 2 to 3 more championships and then we can start having the debate? Do we realize that Patrick Mahomes might be this great for the next 10 years, and it might be the only two championships he gets. That is totally in play. It is totally plausible that for as great as he is, he doesn't win a championship three more times. Look no further than Tom Brady. When for as great as Brady was, and as weak as the division was, and as easy as getting a bye was for the Patriots, they went a decade in his prime without winning a title. You consider Bill the best coach of all time? You consider Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? You consider the AFC East of the 2000s the worst division of all time? Guess what? All three happened, and they went a decade without winning a title. To project two or three more championships and then being like, well, if that happens, then the conversation is different. Well, yeah. Let's not, though, start with, well, if something crazy happens, then what? It's like watching Victor Wembanyama being like, if he gets six titles, he's got to be in the conversation with the greatest of all time. We kind of got to let the reality unfold. And I understand that there is a desperate need now to fill up as much airtime in digital space as possible because it's never ending. I've got to fill 4 hours a day, every day for 5 days a week. And then when I do a Saturday show or a Sunday morning football, fill more content. And when you are in the sea of social media and you're looking for something to stand out, you've got to be more and more outrageous and have crazier and crazier takes. But the stuff that goes, well, if these 10 crazy things happen, then what would we say? Is so cart before the horse, it's laughable. If Andy Reid wins two or three more championships, well, okay, why don't we start by letting him win two or three? Then we can have the conversation, or one or two. But we're a far cry from that. And this was like when people said, are the Eagles a dynasty? Because they had won one in 2017 and gone to one before the game was played. And I was like, can we let them win this and then have the debate? Or we have to have the debate before the playoffs start? When does the debate have to start here? That's exhausting. I hated that. What I don't mind of the conversation about Andy Reid doing it two different places, whereas Bill didn't, that's a worthy conversation. Because Andy did create a winner in Philadelphia and bring them to four consecutive NFC championship games and five overall and get to a Super Bowl and then got to Kansas City and built another powerhouse. Whereas Bill was an team in Cleveland, maybe got shortchanged because they pulled the plug on him when the team left to go to Baltimore, but didn't build a championship caliber team in Cleveland and then do it in New England. And may not have had a championship caliber team had they not stumbled into Tom Brady. Because what we're seeing before Tom and after Tom ain't that great from Bill. So we can have that conversation, but the, well, if Andy Reid wins two more Super Bowls, like, come on. Pat Boyle made some fans around here with your passion for tennis during the updates. People saying that's what we need around here replacing Mraz.
Yeah, I heard that. Do they want more tennis stuff or just more passion? Are they saying Mraz wasn't passionate enough?
Hard to say. Maybe just passion for tennis. So, did you see that over the weekend in Wimbledon, they had to do a warning about popping your champagne?
Yes.
Too loudly.
Yeah, how about that? That's like the most Wimbledon thing ever, I guess.
Is that so?
They had to issue a warning. People were popping.
Yeah, dude, I mean, Wimbledon seems like a great time, man. Well, I mean, we got to get to London. We got to get to London. Regardless of the future of this show, you got to get a remote show at Wimbledon. We're going to talking to Patrick McEnroe Friday.
Uh-huh.
He'll be on the show. We got to talk about getting to London, doing some little strawberries and cream, a little champagne.
But are we champagne guys?
I'll be a champagne guy. You'll if it means guy. I get to, you know, mingle with the bourgeoisie, people. The pretty rich famous people, the pretty rich famous ladies.
Nothing wrong with some champagne.
Right? Come on.
Okay, so your goal in life is to be one of the pretty people?
Of course.
Okay. Okay, Pete, you?
No, but I like champagne.
Okay.
And you guys can go to the test match. I'll go explore London.
Mm.
Okay. EJ?
Pete and Big Ben's Tower.
Are you comfortable around pretty people?
Yeah. Count me in.
Okay.
I'm all ready for it, you know? Like, let's do it. Let's, you know, like Jalen Rose said, champagning and campaigning out in London. Sounds like a fun time.
All right. Okay, I didn't know if we were ready for that type of upper crust society around here. We're more...
Well, Mraz brings it down.
That's all I'm saying. This is the post-Mraz world.
We could be...
We know a lot about crust with Mraz.
This could be a very elegant... snazzy kind of show now, man. The possibilities are endless.
It's like in Sister Sister, you know, in the later seasons, and in the intro is like Sister Sister. It kind of like livened up a little bit. They had like the pretty dresses and they were in the flashy suits. Like, you know, like that's the new era of the DA show post Mraz. You know, the early was kind of dopey, you know, Sister Sister. You know, it's a little, you know, a little more childish, you know. Now you get to the later seasons of the Sister Sister show. And now we're you know, spicing it up a little bit.
A little bit more sophisticated.
Yeah, the collective IQ has probably raised about 50 points.
Right, it's like when Larry and Balky went to the Chronicle instead of the little shop they were...
the secondhand store.
Right, a secondhand store.
Okay, so we're trying to get more sophisticated.
Yes.
Okay.
So champagne would certainly fill out. And you know what else they got at Wimbledon? They got sex rooms.
Huh? Of course you know that.
Yeah.
No, at the facility?
Yes.
Come on.
Apparently, there are, next to one of the courts on the outside, you know, the fringe of the entire tennis garden, the entire area, there are, like, changing/dressing rooms, and apparently people are going in there, and they're knocking boots. They're bumping uglies.
So they're not real. They're
not designated for the act,
yeah,
but they're
okay,
being
yes,
used
they're,
as that.
They're not, come to Wimbledon and have sex in our sex rooms, you dirty, nasty strumpet, whatever the word is called.
Trollops.
You trollops. You strumpets. Get all your testosterone out with a good nice shag in the changing room at London, you dirty, dirty animal. No, they're changing/dressing rooms, but people are using them to get crazy.
I see.
Start throwing some weight around in there.
Yeah. The strawberries and cream. And
so look, man, we start drinking champagne. Somebody who's feeling frisky wants to feel alive.
You start drinking champagne, yeah. and this happens.
Hey, takes two to tango, Pete.
I just quickly looked up British slang terms for intercourse, and one of the slang phrases is all fur coat and no knickers, which means a woman who looks good in the service but has no substance. So you can use that when you rub elbows with the pretty people. All fur coat, no knickers.
Mm.
No, or not. Okay, what's on headlines?
All right, Paul Skeens is the number one overall pick in the MLB draft. The Pittsburgh Pirates hopefully have their ace of the future. LSU flamethrower finished off a historic campaign for the Tigers when they won the national championship 2 weeks ago. Now he's the future of the Buccos. His approximate signing bonus based on the pick, again, $9.72 million. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a guy who had a bright future regardless, but he was at Air Force last year. He transferred to LSU this year, and he was a two-way player, both pitcher and a catcher. Rumor has it Skeens would throw a fastball. By the time it got to home plate, he was in full catcher's gear framing it for a strike. Apparently he's that good.
Bugs Bunny style.
I was going to say, I definitely love that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
So Shohei Shmohei, look out for Paul Skeens. Uh-huh. Pitch and catches himself. His teammate Dylan Cruz, LSU's Golden Spikes Award-winning outfielder, went number two to the Nationals. Earlier in the day, rounding up some of the final scores we've yet to mention. First half of the season wrapped up. By the way, I was looking for the Angels-Dodgers score. And I thought I either had full-blown dementia or I was having a stroke because I couldn't find anything. And I was like, did it rain in L.A. yesterday? They played a two-game series, and they had an off day yesterday.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
I saw that.
There's been a couple of those series.
Two-game series?
So dumb.
Yeah, I think it's because it's the rivalry series.
Yeah, the freeway series.
Okay, I guess because here in this town, which remains unnamed.
The National League and the American League team.
They do those as
two
well.
Two-game
series.
During a week.
Yeah, but to have an off day.
On a Sunday.
Especially going to the All-Star. Anyway, dumb. Brian De La Cruz. De La Cruz. No relation to Ellie. But Brian De La Cruz went 4-for-4 with a home run and two ribs. Marlins won the rubber game over the Phillies 7-3. Blue Jays were down to their final out yesterday in Detroit. Then Danny Jansen uncorked a two-run home run to tie the game. Then the Bluebirds won it in extras. They beat the Tigers 4-3-10. The rubber game on the south side of Chicago between two horrendously underachieving mediocre teams. Cardinals beat the White Sox 4-3 in extras. And Joey Meneses homered for a third straight day. Nats won the rubber game against the Rangers 7-2. All right, so home run derby tonight at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. How about some betting guessing games here?
Okay.
So here's the bracket. One seed, Luis Robert, 26 home runs so far, versus eight seed Adley Rutschman, 12 home runs. Four seed Adelis Garcia, he's got 23, versus five seed Randy Rosarena.
Hey.
He's got 16. Three seed Mookie Betts with 26 versus six seed Vladdy Jr., only 13 home runs so far. And then the two seed is the two-time champ Pete Alonso with 26 home runs versus the hometown kid Julio Rodriguez, only 13 home runs.
What a tough early bracket for him.
Who do we think is the favorite, at least of the sports book I'm looking at?
I say Alonso.
That's what I would say.
That would be correct. He's plus 310. Vladdy's second favorite, plus 370. Who do we think has the shortest odds to win?
It's not going to be Alonso that wins this for a third time in a row.
No.
But shortest odds, so the least likely to win it.
Correct.
I'd say Adley
Rutschman.
Yeah, plus 1,800.
He has the fewest amount of home runs.
Yeah. Now, Mookie's got 26, but you need a big, burly guy.
You would think.
That can just, you know, even when they're tired, can keep flicking home runs. Mookie Betts plus 1,100, but he's got 26 home runs on
you. I think Luis Robert's a little high seated.
Is that a seeding?
The seeding is based on home runs.
Okay.
So he's got 26. Alonzo's got 26. Mookie's got 26. I don't know how they factored in the tiebreakers.
This is Julio Rodriguez's moment. In front of the home crowd, he said, this might never happen to me ever again in my career. This is his moment. I would bet on him.
Last year, I remember, went to the final, lost to Juan Soto. Over under on total home runs in the entire derby. What do we think it's at?
I heard some crazy thing that Vladdy had 91 home runs one year.
I think so.
That's the record. I can't even keep track. I mean, what, one guy is 91? What could that mean? You hit 500 over the course of the event? Is this for everybody, you mean? Like total home runs for
total
everybody?
Total home runs for the event.
Who knows? I mean, if 70, 400?
276 and a half.
That's going to say 285.
Wow.
Good job.
That's the total over under.
285, and Vladdy once had 91. So he had a third of what the over under is.
Yeah, because that was what, 2 years ago?
I think
he went to the
ago.
Final. He hit about, you know, on average 30 each round.
Yeah, because he's going each round. Some of these guys are going one round, hitting 10, and then they're done.
Good point.
What do we think over under on the longest home run is in terms of feet?
465.
I'm going 493.
475.
490 and a half.
Mm. Damn, I'm terrible at these games.
Anyway. Okay. And then All-Star game tomorrow. NBA news over the weekend. Greg Popovich, new contract, 5 years, over $80 million. Adrian Wojnarowski mentioning his reporting that Pop is also the president of basketball ops for the Spurs. He's like the Czar of San Antonio.
Yep.
So perhaps even if he doesn't coach all 5 years, he can still earn all those 80 million smackers in his front office role. But his main task, obviously, is taking
Victor Wembanyama.
Yes, Victor Wembanyama's game to the next level. Wemby being labeled a bust by some on social media on Friday night. He shot just 2-for-13 from the field in his NBA Summer League debut.
Oh, God.
Now, wait a minute.
He was put on a poster. He shot an air ball, however, responded nicely last night. 27 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, 9-of-14 from the field.
Oh, so he's pretty good.
Yeah. I think this was news as of this morning, maybe late last night, but I think this could be a nice runner-up story for Momentous Monday, in my opinion. Larry Nassar, who was convicted of sexually abusing female gymnasts, was stabbed multiple times during an altercation with another incarcerated person at a federal prison in Florida. The only bad news, he's still alive.
Not quite the spirit of Momentous Monday, but thanks, Pat.
No problem. Finally.
Goodness. Here I'm thinking there's going to be some inspirational story. Pat says Larry Nassar was stabbed in jail.
I just saw that story, too, and I was wondering where it was going to go. And of course, Pat, you have one a day. There's your one.
What? Is that not good news?
It is good news, I guess.
Yeah, but I'm not openly cheering for a guy to get stabbed.
anybody deserves it, it's him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, finally, really quickly, Wimbledon. Our hopes for the first American man to win Wimbledon since Pete Sampras is fading. Atlanta native Chris Eubanks lost the first set to world number five, Stefanos
Tsitsipas.
Actually, just as of this moment, he just won the second set in a tiebreak, so they're one set all. So good stuff for the last American man there. Three seed Daniil Medvedev up two sets on the young Czech Jiří Lehečka, and 23-time slam champ Novak Djokovic minutes away from resuming his match from yesterday with Hubert Hurkacz. Joker's up two sets to none. Women's side, American Madison Keys joined world number four Jessie Pegula as the two American women in the quarterfinals. Reigning champ Elena Rybakina got a retirement from Beatriz Haddad-Maia in the first set because of a back injury. So Rybakina back in the quarters.
Damn.
Thank you, Pat. Do we have the audio from the guy hanging upside down?
No, I forgot to grab it. Do you want me to play it off the computer?
No, but we did the story in Stunned to a News. There was a roller coaster called the Fireball that goes upside down in a loop, and it got caught upside down. And the people that were in there, caught upside down, were in there for nearly 2 hours before they were all dislodged. And they had to bring fire trucks over and get escape ladders or safety ladders all the way up to them. And Todd tweets in DA, another reason it took so long to rescue the riders in Fireball was that there weren't individual release switches for the harnesses. There was only one master switch for all of the harnesses.
Oh, so if you did it, you unlock everybody at once.
And so you had to be ready? I mean, I can't even imagine how that worked. If that's true, if they had to tell people, keep it locked while we release everybody, because not everybody came falling out of the sky onto like a big trampoline.
You just tell everybody, hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on.
I do have this video ready to rock if you want to hear it.
All right, let's play this. This is from the NPR story. A bystander that was there filming it on his phone. Oh, no.
I'm unmuted.
Oh, no.
This should be playing.
Oh, dear.
Let's try it again.
All right, either way. 325 feet tall, this roller coaster. I just can't imagine being hung upside down on the roller coaster for nearly 2 hours. And I don't know if there's one big release switch. What did they possibly do?
How does that ride get approved by anybody approving rides to have one big release for a ride that goes upside down? That makes no sense.
I don't know. These are very scary. These are very scary stories, and I like my roller coasters.
Oh, same.
But I do not like being trapped over the air or in the air upside down.
Have you gone on King to Ka?
I have not.
Imagine 420 feet in the air getting stuck.
No.
Pass.
No.
When we come back on the show, Advanced Analytics at an Epic Fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Let the interviews for Meraz's position begin. Jeff in Pittsburgh leads us off. This week, no Meraz, and we begin to try to feel out our way post the Thictator.
I quit the show.
Of course, there's some in-house candidates that will be considered strongly for the position. You guys know the names. They're familiar to you.
I'm Jack Stern.
But I am also going to consider outside the building name.
My favorite porn star, Mark Manning.
If you are listening out there and you're like, you know what, damn it, I should be Meraz's replacement.
I am the producer.
I could do what he did.
I like pleasuring myself with
staying alive.
We already have a listener that wants to weigh in on the process. Jeff, who's in Pittsburgh this morning here on the DA show. Jeff, good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, DA. Wanted to jump to the front of the line, my friend. Oh. Looking forward to the opportunity. Yeah, I'm old school, though, DA. I filled out the paper application. I can do the Zoom interview, or I can do it right here live on the air.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
I can eat a lot of food, soil myself. I don't have a lot of talent, and I don't require a lot of money.
Now, would you be able to relocate to New York?
Concrete jungle where dreams are made.
that's going to be tough, but I think I can do it. I heard rent's high up there.
Rent is high, but you don't have to live in the city. You can live in some of the surrounding areas. And so if you live out in New Jersey or some other areas, you might be able to find some affordable rent. In fact, Pat Boyle might be looking for a roommate as we speak, as long as you can stay quiet at night and sleep through maybe some bumping and banging in the next room.
Usually by the time I finish my left-handed cigarette, it's about 7 p.m., I'm out.
All right, well, Jeff in Pittsburgh, any closing remarks?
Just look forward to the opportunity, and I'll answer the phones, and I'll answer them on the second or third ring, D.A.
Wow.
I'll work circles around anybody there. I'm a machine.
Okay. All right, Jeff in Pittsburgh has thrown his hat into the ring.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Hearing Pat Boyle yell, dog! Excellent. Excellent work from EJ. Poll question today was, should Mraz's replacement be similar to him or the total opposite? 60% of you said the total opposite. The data department tells us that about 40% of people lie on their resumes. Referred candidates are 5 times more likely to be hired. And the interview process takes an average of 23 days. But if you know this show, it's probably more like 4 or 5 months we'll get out of this.
Huh?
We'll squeeze that content. Thanks to EJ Stewart, executive producer today. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti, Brooke Stewart, Andrew Kaplan, and Pat Boyle. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.